This past week, a 2-year-old was sick with a high fever, and in the wee hours of the night, when all of us were sound asleep, that little 2-year-old looked up at her mother and said in a 2-year-old voice, "Cuddle." Well, I'm here to tell you, there's no resisting the cutest toddler in the whole state of Indiana at that moment. No medicine, sweet treat, or even a fuzzy teddy bear can comfort a child like the warm embrace of her mother. Well, today, I don't know that you come with a high fever or sickness. Probably not. You wouldn't be in the room. But as I look around this room, I'm very aware that there's those in this room that today are thinking, cuddle? Just needing comfort. There's something maybe in all of our lives that are crying out, cuddle? Cuddle? And so as we approach this text of Scripture in Isaiah 40, we're going to do just that. Because verse 1, as we've seen in previous weeks, tell us comfort, comfort. And that's the very purpose behind this passage in Isaiah 40, is to provide comfort. So having said that, if you have a Bible, don't open it, just grip it with your hands. Grip this precious Word of God, the ancient words that we just sang about, the words of truth, the words of hope, and the words of comfort. Would you just grip it with both hands? Will you close your eyes? Will you close your eyes? And can we together call out in our quiet moment, wherever you're seated, asking God to comfort us? Even as we sang the words that were actually a prayer, so it is, we ask You, O God, speak. Renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of Your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace, it's by grace, O God, that we stand on Your promises, because we're undeserving. It's by faith we'll walk as You walk with us, because we're never alone. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So our series, we've been looking at the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. From Isaiah chapter 40, our series, Who is Like God? And in our study thus far, Pastor Adam has showed us that the first 39 chapters in Isaiah, we haven't looked at those much, but those are a message of judgment. And when we come to chapter 40 to the end of Isaiah is a message of comfort. So we have this abrupt transition in chapter 40 from judgment to comfort. Comfort. And that's verse 1, as we've already seen. Comfort. Comfort, my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare has ended. Those are comforting words. And that her iniquity is pardoned. If you're looking for comfort today, there's comfort in knowing that our sin is forgiven. That's a message of comfort. And that was the message that Isaiah proclaimed to the people of Israel. They have sinned against God. But now comes restoration. Now comes forgiveness. Their sin, their iniquity has been pardoned. And today, in this passage, as we look at Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8, we're going to see a message of comfort. That regardless of what we're going through, regardless of where you are today, we can trust the Lord and we can trust His eternal word. That's comforting. Amen? It is comforting. And so it is. Let's be encouraged to know with certainty that we can find comfort. We can rest assured in God's eternal word, as it says in verse 6. A voice says, cry. And Isaiah said, well, what shall I cry? So this is a call from God that gives us a message of comfort. Now, the voice in verse 6, a voice says, it's not identified, the voice isn't, but if you look up at verse 5, it says, from the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we can know that this is the very voice of God that's speaking to the prophet Isaiah. And this shouldn't surprise us, because in other places in the scriptures, we find out that in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And the true prophets of God received His word. They received His word, and they spoke the very message that God intended them to speak. As a matter of fact, God actually condemned false prophets. It says in Jeremiah 23, the Lord said, so listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. The false prophets, they fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. Now, that was true in their day. There were false prophets proclaiming false hopes, things that their minds thought up, and nothing's changed. Even to this day, there are false prophets, there are false messages that are going out in our world. As a matter of fact, you might see, often you see the sign that says, believe. And I'm always amazed that sometimes that message, that little plaque, believe, has nothing to do with followers of Christ. People just say, believe. And I guess you're just supposed to believe in yourself, that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that you can make it through this time of trial or whatever it is that you want to do. You can do it. Pat yourself on the back and let's go. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's a false message, because the object of our faith is very important. Believe is true, but the scriptures tell us what to believe in. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's the object of our faith. And so the false prophet of just believe isn't enough. We need to believe on the right object, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, like Isaiah, we need to listen, not to false prophets, but we need to listen to true prophets, and we need to listen to God's voice that comes from His Word. And that's exactly what Isaiah wanted to do. He said back to this voice, he said, what shall I cry? Or what shall I call out? It's Isaiah's question to God. You see, the prophet was eager. He was eager and submissive to follow the Lord's call perfectly. He didn't want to get it wrong. By the way, this is the same prophet, Isaiah. This is the same prophet that we've mentioned before in Isaiah 6, who at the very throne room of God in Isaiah 6, he was at the very throne room, and he saw God in all of His glory. And when he saw it, he recognized, God is so great, and I am so sinful, that he said, woe to me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then Isaiah tells us that he saw God in His glory, and the Lord prepared him for being a prophet, because the seraphim, God sent a seraphim who flew to him, and with a live coal in his hand, he touched his mouth, and God said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. And then God said, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us. And having heard God's call, Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. This is the eager messenger that's receiving this message from God to go out and call out to his people. Well, that's the messenger, and what's the message? What's the message? Well, it's right here in verse 6 and 7. The message is, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Well, this is the message, and this message uses a metaphor to show us what we can take comfort in. And it shows us what we can't take comfort in. You see, this metaphor shows us the frailty of our flesh. Now, by the way, some of you might be saying, a meta what? A metaphor. No, it's not an insurance plan, but it sounds like it. A metaphor for those English majors in the room. Raise your hand if you're an English major. Oh, okay, we got to spend a lot of time on this, okay? So just get yourself ready. Take notes, because we need this. Because a metaphor is used here, and it's just going to help us understand what's being said. But at the end of verse 6, the message is a metaphor. It says, all flesh is what, everybody? All flesh is what? Grass. Okay. Look at your skin. Do you have grass coming off of your skin? So this is a metaphor. It's a comparison. It's not to be taken literal. And there's also a simile here in this that says, its beauty is like the flower of the field. Its beauty is like the flower of the field, okay? So here's your English lesson. Take notes. You might need this tomorrow when you get to class. Both similes and metaphors are figures of speech that compare one thing to another. A simile compares using the words like or as. That's a simile, whereas a metaphor doesn't. Okay, here's a couple of examples for you. Here's a simile. That boy is like a bull in a china shop. Okay, that's a simile because it uses the word like. Or that boy, he can eat like a. Okay, so these are similes. Okay, he's not literally a horse. He's not a bull. He's kind of like that, though. Whereas a metaphor, here's an example. He's an open book. Or he wears his emotions on his... Okay, those are metaphors, okay? You're beginning to get it. Now, we're almost done with the English lesson, but I hope that helps us understand the message here, what's going on. It says, again, all flesh is grass. Its beauty is like the flower of the field. You see, our earthly lives are not really grass. Our flesh is not really grass, but it's like grass. It's like flowers that fade. Our flesh is like grass and flowers that fade. Now, you can understand this because it's September here in the Midwest, and we're beginning to see this fading take place all around us. It wasn't long ago we saw the spring when the buds were coming out and the flowers were just blooming and life was spring, and you were excited about that. But all of a sudden we're beginning to see the opposite. It's beginning to fade out. Things are changing. This is the Midwest right now. And by the way, the flowers here, also behind the church house, I found some other flowers. They're actually weeds. And you know what this is? This is goldenrod. You don't smell it, you'll sneeze for sure. And goldenrod is beginning to come out. It's kind of bright. It's got a flower. And this is honeysuckle, and we have a lot of this behind the church house, and take all you want, because it's kind of taken over the woodlot back there. But this beginning to see the red berries. And that's what it is. That's what we're talking about. It's a changing season that we're experiencing. The season is fading from spring to fall. That's what we're seeing. But it's not just talking about plants here, okay? It's not just talking about plants. We're talking about flesh. We're talking about people. And even the fawns, some of you are saying, who's the fawns? Well, that's Henry Winkler. And then, of course, there's Rocky. Well, who's Rocky? Rocky Balboa, you know? It's Sylvester Stallone. Even those two guys who, when I was a teenager, man, I thought they were really cool and really strong. But I'm here to tell you, at age 77, both of them are, at age 77, they're beginning to fade. They're beginning to fade. Now, Rocky still looks pretty good, even as a 77-year-old. I wish to look like that when I was 77. But they're fading. And you know what? As strong as they may be, as cool as they were, guess what? They are fading, and one day they too will go the way of all flesh, the way of the grave. They will die. They are fading. Well, plant life is a short season. We've already talked about that. Plant life is a short season. We aren't grass, but our earthly lives are like grass and flower that fade. It says in the text again, all flesh is grass, and its beauty is like the flower of the field. By the way, look at your Bibles, and if you're holding an English Standard Translation in front of you, you'll see that the word beauty probably has a footnote that says constance or constancy. Do you see that in your footnote there? If you're holding a New International version of the Bible, it probably says the word faithfulness. So there's some disagreement on how to see this word beauty. Is the word beauty pointing back to the grass and all its beauty? And if that's the case, the meaning is the beauty of plants disappears, and that's true, right? That's true. Plants do. Their beauty does die out in the fall. But if that word beauty, which has different translations, and it actually is the Hebrew word hesed. Have you ever heard that word hesed? God's loyal love, his steadfast love, his faithfulness. If it's pointing back to the flesh, it's telling us that even the promises of men dissolve. So it can mean, it means probably one of those two. It probably both can be true. We know that the beauty of plants does disappear. And we also know that the promises of men even fail and fade. It's true. Both are true. Just think about the greatest human covenant of marriage. And even at its best, marriage is only as good until death do us part. So we are not capable of keeping promises. If we're looking for comfort from the people around us to keep their promises, we will be let down, because our promises fail. Just like the flowers disappear, the promises of men dissolve. Now, you're probably saying, wait, Pastor Dave. I thought you said this was a message of comfort. Where's the comfort in this? You're telling me that I'm going to get old and wrinkly and have aches and pains and sickness. You're telling me that? You're telling me, Pastor Dave, that I can't always trust the people's promises, their loyalty. That's not a message of comfort, is it? You're probably saying those things, but the text doesn't end with those verses. As a matter of fact, it goes on. to tell us what we can take comfort in. It says, using a contrast, that we can be assured that we can trust God's word. We can trust God's word. That's where this passage is going, because while our human existence is faint, frail, and feeble, we can know with certainty that God's word is strong, sure, and secure. You see, God's word is eternal. God's word is eternal. The word of God will stand. What's the next word in your Bibles? The word of God will stand what? Forever. I won't stand here forever. I won't stand here forever. The trees won't be there forever. Even the very promises we make fail. But we can be certain that God's word will stand forever. His word is eternal. As the writer of Hebrews has said, that the Bible is more than just a historical record. It's more than that. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The word of God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God is alive. It's active. And not only is it living, but it works. Why Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You see, God's word is active, past, present, future. His word is eternal. Not so with the flesh, is it? Not so. By the way, why does the flesh die? Why do the flowers fade? Did you catch it in the passage? Well, the scriptures tell us right here, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. You see, it wasn't this way from the creation of the world. Death wasn't a thing. When God created the world, it was perfect. But the wages, what came, the result of sin is death. And because sin entered the world, so it is, this old flesh gets wrinkly, this old flesh gets sickly, this old flesh will one day fade. That's true. And I have to wonder, even the flowers of the field, maybe they would have lived forever. I don't know, but we do know that the wages of sin is death. That's the Lord blowing on it. It's His judgment upon man's sinfulness that the wages of sin is death. But there is a promise, isn't there, that follows. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the promise that we're coming to, because the promises of God are certain. And that's just one of many. The Lord said this, that His promises are certain. He said, the word that comes from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I have desired and achieve the purpose which I sent it. The word of God is certain. There are many, many promises in the word, and I gave you one. These aren't casual promises as we sometimes make. These are promises of God. They're rock-solid commitments made by the God of the universe, the all-powerful one. God is faithful, and we can have full assurance that what God has promised, He will do. Now, you're thinking, what are some of the promises of God? And I don't know if there's any more of these out there, but I put about a dozen copies of a document that just simply gives you the promises. A few of them from the Old Testament, a few of them from the New Testament, and a few of them from Jesus and the Gospels. And maybe some of these are in the foyer on a table, and if we run out, we can make more. But there's some good reading. If we want to know with certainty that the promises of God are sure, then we need to know what those promises are and become familiar with them. You'll find them throughout the Scriptures, throughout your Bible, and that document will help you explore the Scriptures in that way. The promises of God are certain. The Word of God is eternal. Now, you're saying, what does this mean for us today? What do I get out of this? How can I find comfort in this? Well, number one, sometimes we expect all to go well, but we should expect that the flesh and the flowers will fade. And we shouldn't be surprised by the aging process. That's not fun news. I realize it. Sickness does come. Every day I wake up, there seems to be a new pain. Might have been in my knee yesterday, but when I wake up today, it might be in my elbow. And some of you understand what I'm talking about right now, and some of you are saying, what is he talking about? Aches and pains just kind of evolve overnight. Have you figured that one out? And that's how we should expect that. We are aging. We live in a fallen world. This is the result of sin. We should expect this. We should expect this. But it leads us to a promise of God from the book of Revelation that says, one day God's dwelling place will be with men. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. Can you imagine that? No more death. No more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. What a day that will be. And that's a promise of God we can be certain in. That day is coming. Do you know the Lord? Will you be in his presence? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So we should expect flowers and expect flesh and flowers to fade and not be surprised by the aging process, and we should also expect God to keep his word. Let's not give up on his word. Some might be tempted to give up and even not call out to him in their time of need. It's like, oh, it's no use. He can't help me. This is too much. I can't live this way, and he can't help me. Well, do you believe the promise of God where it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus himself tells us to call out to him in our moment of need, and he will give us rest. Amen. Call out to him. Just call out to him. You don't have to use the word cuddle, but you can use, Lord, would you just save me? Would you save me? Would you help me? Use your words, whatever that might be you're going through, to call out to him. And ultimately, we all need to call out to the Lord for salvation. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to go to him for forgiveness. Israel was forgiven. Their iniquity was pardoned, and so can yours be forgiven today. You can be forgiven for whatever sin because Christ Jesus died for your sin. That's a promise of God that you can take comfort in this day. Well, we should know with certainty and find comfort and rest assured in God's eternal word. And all of this reminds us of our fading flesh, but it reminds us of our great and holy God and his character of mercy and grace. Well, the music team's going to come, and we're going to close with a song, but it uses these words that we are a moment. He is forever. He is forever. Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor. He is eternal. Love everlasting, reigning on high. Music team, come, and the rest of us close our eyes just for a minute. And let's just call out to our holy, holy Lord God Almighty, the one who is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name, O God. You are the great one. You are the merciful one. You judge sin, but you bring salvation. You bring restoration. Thank you for the comfort that we receive from your word. And may we go to it throughout this week, seeking you for the hope that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.